Hey, thanks for joining us for The Last Storm. Today, Dave and I are going to be talking about Steph showing Chet some love. We're going to be predicting the Thunder's top five off the bench. Will Chet be the best three-point shooter on the Thunder team? Well, we think it's winning time. We think the next 10 years are going to be special. We think J. Will and J. Dub are going to be a big part of that. And we're just really excited about this being a brotherhood. So thanks for joining us. Here we go. Now I ain't trying to chase it. Kids from Oklahoma, man, we don't waste it. I'm just trying to paint the picture for me. Something I could give a damn about in maybe 40 years. And I've been ready and willing and able to edit the story. Cause there's so many people here to be so damn lonely. Man, did you see it's Dean Blevins' 25-year anniversary?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, man. Like, I remember back in the day when we would watch him.
I feel like he was a young gun back then, right?
Yeah, he was, though. Like, I mean,
damn, we're old.
He was, like, in his 20s back then, so when we used to watch him, it's kind of crazy.
Dude, we're so old. We're not.
So fucking old.
We're, like, we're in our late 30s. I'm about to be, well, I'm 37 now, so I guess I'm not really that old, but I like to say I am, even though I'm not. It's coming fast, so I'm going to be prepared.
Yeah, man. We had a podcast on your birthday,
right? Yep. Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't say anything. So
I don't mind, dude. I don't mind.
I'm that type of fucking brother.
I'm the type that doesn't mind not having it brought up, dude. Seriously.
Yeah. I'm the same way. Like, my neighbor told me the other day that he hates birthdays, you know? He hates celebrating them. And I'm like, I know. Like, I'm cool with a cake, right? Yeah. But that's as far as, you know, I go, whatever. But since he told me it, and his birthday is tomorrow, I think.
Yeah.
I went and bought him a wine and decorated it with a bunch of Charlie Whirlies and shit like that. So I'm gonna be like, happy birthday, bro.
Dude, yeah.
You don't like to celebrate it, but
yeah, I go along with it because everybody else likes it, but I'd rather just make it a normal day.
Yeah, exactly, man. I'm happy if my wife's like, hey, I got you a hotel room with no kids. So I'm like,
yeah, just hang out.
Simple, yeah. Man. Simple.
For sure, dude. For sure.
Man, it's kind of hard right now looking at all the Thunder news and all this other stuff. But it's kind of cool seeing Steph Curry talk about Chet. You know? Kind of exciting, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool, I think. I think it's obvious that he's a generational talent, but like, there's one thing about, you know, players we've seen is like, you don't know just because they are generational talent, what they're going to turn out as. Like, you really don't know what the peak of his game is going to look like. And I think,
oh yeah,
I think that's what people are kind of like, just, they're just kind of tipping their cap to him. They're acknowledging this dude, you know, as I say often, is a supreme talent. And because of that, like, there's going to be a position, there's just a spot where you have to recognize, like, he's going to go further than anybody really felt like somebody has taken either his position or the game before. Hmm. Like, isn't that kind of like what makes Steph so special? And the same with like Michael Jordan and even guys like Bird and Magic. When you go back, you know, even further to like Wilt and Kareem, and like guys like George Mikan, like,
yeah,
they pushed the game further than anybody really saw like it could be done. Mm. And it takes someone who understands like kind of like their position, the history of the game, and then kind of how to change the arc of it. And I saw like JJ Redick talking about Chet, and he said that, you know, I don't know, he had some really kind of wild thing to say, but he said that Chet can, like, I don't know, he changes space and time, you know what I mean? Mm. On the court.
Yeah.
And like, that's like an interesting way to look at like the basic of what he brings to the game.
Yeah. And man, it's kind of crazy if you think about it too, like the fact that these superstars are taking time to talk about Chet, and this is not the first one to talk about it, you know. And let's just go back to Steph real quickly. You know, Steph jumped on the scene in 2009, 2010 season. Nobody really, you know,
thought that he was going to be what he is, obviously. But during that time, I think it was 2000, I forget the exact date, but whatever date, we saw Ray Allen break the record, and we all thought that this record was going to hold for like 20 years, you know, just like it did before Ray Allen. And I think he broke it in the first 10 years of his playing in the league. That's the type of player Steph is. And so when you see somebody that's willing to take time and talk about Chet, we know that Chet is going to redefine the NBA, just like Steph redefined the NBA. But we think it's going to be more on the defensive side. His offensive game is going to come, and I do believe he's going to be a 20-plus player a night when it comes down to it. But his defense is going to be what's the most spectacular part about Chet's game. And I think the NBA recognizes that. They all recognize his talent on offense, but they all recognize that he's going to be immediately a superstar on defense. And like I've said, I think that I've said it last podcast, at least, that I think that Chet has an opportunity to be Steph Curry, or to be the block king, like Steph Curry is the 3-point king. And very, very quickly, because we're going to watch him put up some insane stats on blocks his rookie season. And everybody's going to stop and be like, holy cow. So when you see people that are, you know, predicting that Chet is going to have like 1.8, 2 blocks a game, they're already putting him in the top echelon of the league. You know, like there's only a few guys in the league that average 2 block shots a game. So out of respect for him, they've already put them up there. But I think he's going to be doing some insane block shots. I think there's going to be at least one time he's going to have a triple-double with block shots. And there's just going to be a lot of crazy things he's going to be going and doing out there that we're all going to step back and just be able to appreciate.
Yeah, dude. And if anybody who's been around this podcast any amount of time knows, we've been all over Chet for months now. You know, as soon as it became apparent that we had a chance to get him at number two. So we're not speaking anything new to you. But yo, Dave, I wanted to talk to you real quick. I retweeted 4 articles, okay? Mm-hmm. 5 articles.
Yep.
And I wanted to run through the headlines and then you tell me what you think. Cool. Which one do you want to talk about? All right, so first, Ben Kreider, fellow podcast host, he said Hoops Hype ranks Lu Dort 17th in shooting guard rankings. All right. Mm. Number 2, predicting Oklahoma City's first 5 off the bench by Ross Lovelace. Number 3, Thunder rookie Jalen Williams is ready to contribute immediately. That's by Thunder SI. And we got Mike Muscala provides a crucial place on and off the court by Chris Becker. And could Chet Holmgren be the best 3-point shooter for the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Oh, man, those are really good ones. Let's go with number 2, though, man.
Number 2. All right, bro. So the first 5 off the bench by Ross Lovelace. All
right. Yes, yes. This is one I'm excited about right here.
All right, so do you want me to go through his, or do you want to go through yours?
Man, why don't you go through his? And, you know, I'll say it afterwards if I agree or if I believe that somebody else will be there.
All right, so starting out, he assumes that we're going to have the first starting 4 of our 3 stars, Giddey, Chet, SGA, and Lu Dort at the 4th, and then Bazley being that 5th starter, just for the sake of argument here. Okay, so then it goes Trey Mann, JRE, J-Dub, Kenny Williams, and Aaron Wiggins, with Moose getting minutes in the rotation, but not necessarily, you know, as many minutes as these other guys. So that's really 6, but yeah.
Okay. I could see that. I really could. I do think that Jay Will is going to get a significant amount of minutes. When I say significant for a rookie, I peg him at someplace at like, you know, between 12 and 15 minutes a game, you know?
Uh-huh.
But where's JRE?
JRE was the first guy I mentioned, or second. Right, Trey Mann, JRE.
Broke up there, so that makes sense why I didn't hear JRE. All right,
so, but there's a few guys that aren't being mentioned here. One of the guys I'm thinking about is like a Ty Jerome, right? Like, is he on the way out? But well, if he is around, will he play?
Let's just. I'm glad you brought Ty up because I. That's the one that I consistently look at. Okay, Ty is going to be the first fill-in. We're always going to deal with some type of injury, okay?
Right.
So I look at Ty as the first fill-in there, okay?
Okay.
J-Dub, in my opinion, is the person you're going to have to put the majority of the minutes as a sixth man.
Okay.
Trey Mann's special, but we need to know what J-Dub can do in the NBA. So I think you put the majority of the minutes on J-Dub, right? They go J-Dub, Trey Mann, JRE, Kenny Hustle, right? And then I think that fifth spot, I think, is that rotating spot. Like, who are we playing? You know, who I mean,
Wiggins
do we need
probably
out there?
Get that a lot of minutes there, right?
What's that?
Wiggins?
Yeah, listen, it could be Wiggins one night. It could be JR, or it could be J Will one night. Listen, that is going to be moving in and out. And okay. And I think that Wiggins is going to be one of those guys that's going to fit up in that you know top four positions off the bench really fast. But here's the thing is that if you look at all we mentioned, like we still, like you said, Wiggins, Ty, you've got Mike Muscala, you've got so many different guys that I would consider in this tier that is going to be fighting over minutes.
Yeah, I mean, the other guys that he mentioned that I didn't was Jang and Poku, but you've also...
Again, rotating spot, you know? There's so many different guys, and I think a lot of these guys are going to get 10 minutes plus a game.
Yeah, and Krejci showed some things in the summer league where I feel like it's going to be on coach to kind of explore that, like even if he is on the roster, and that's where it kind
of
gets
more
really hard to predict.
15-man rotation.
I mean, it like you always say, it's about matchups, right? So having a coach who understands that, and you want to give, like at a certain point when you're running deep in the playoffs,
listen,
like you probably shorten your rotation. But
yeah, and if Trey Mann's not playing good one night, right?
Yeah.
Hey Trey, it's all right, man. You know, like Wiggins is going to step up tonight, or Ty is going to step up tonight. You know, like you have, and we've been consistently saying this for over a year now. Is our bench is one of the most consistent, best benches in the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
It has.
I mean, that's the facts.
Yeah.
And because of that, we can rely on when somebody else isn't playing well. And I wish that I could say that J-Dub's going to come out and average 15 points a game every single night. But he's a rookie. He's not going to do that. He's going to have an off night. Yes, Coach D is going to let him play through that. But instead of giving him 22 minutes or 23 minutes, he might bump him down to 20 minutes, right?
Yeah.
You know, work through it, but I'm not going to extend your minutes because you're still learning how to work through it. So those 3 minutes will go to somebody else. And I look at this as the learning opportunity that you have for young guys coming to play on this team. You have to get them minutes.
Right.
You just have to. So where are those minutes going to come from? And you have to look at that spot, like, listen, this would be crazy. 8 of our top 12 spots are sophomores or rookies.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, you could even say 8 of our 10 top spots are rookies and sophomores. Dude, that's insane. That means we've drafted so well in the last couple of years that it's made guys like Ty and Maladon, you know, fall down that bench. It's not because their game has gotten worse, because they've gotten better, but it's because our draft picks have turned out to be so perfect for the system that Coach D is running. It just makes these guys harder, you know, more difficult to get playing opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about that. So next, bro, you want to talk to Jalen Williams? Ready to contribute now? We got the Moose article.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Which one?
Yeah, let's just talk about Jalen Williams, because right. I love Jalen Williams. I love his personality. I love the way he is out there constantly cheering if he's on the bench. He understands how to give what it takes to be in the league. I like this. I like the fact that, you know, he plays that hustle, plays that whatever it will take. The way that he takes charges, man. Like, I've only seen a few guys in the league be able to do that.
So you're talking about J. Will, right?
Yeah. What we're talking about, right?
Nah, see, this is what's gonna happen. No, it's J-Dub.
My bad, man. That's my fault. But I'm going to finish what I was going to say, about J. Will. Keep going. All right. J. Will, man, takes charges like Dennis Rodman. You know, like, remember when Dennis Rodman would take a charge, everything would flare out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you knew he just got ran over, right? Yeah. You don't see a lot of guys doing that. But, man, J. Will is like that. And having a guy like that come off the bench when we're getting killed by teams driving to the basket, yeah. Jay Will's going to put a stop to that shit right away. And that's what's exciting. So, all right, talk to J-Dub. All right, what are we going to say about J-Dub now?
No, but what you're saying about Jay Will is right, though. Like, he is going to – I think he can really anchor that second unit and show his value. And maybe, like, you know, you've always seen it, like, in high school or, like, even with the Thunder, with the way they use the blue as a JV. Like, somebody anchors a team – and then they start getting opportunities. Like, Lou Dort was anchoring the defense in the blue before he was given that opportunity for the Thunder. And once they prove that their ability to do that at one level, they can step up. And I think Jay will do that. And like you've been saying, since we drafted him, you think he'll have a chance to start maybe by the end of the year. So him proving that will happen. I think he'll end up in a spot where – like, yeah, if Bazley is starting, then
JRE. Oh, Bazley starting, bro, I'm pumped because he's going to be playing that five position.
Right.
And that excites me.
But I don't think, like, personally, when JRE is out on the court, the ball moves so well. And he moves from the high post, which is a position that Chet really likes another player playing, to the perimeter seamlessly, and he can knock down that three. So I really like JRE out there for the offensive flow.
And JRE's screens.
Yeah.
They're big, man.
When JRE is, when he's in there, right, in the starting lineup, that will give Jay Will that opportunity to anchor the defense. But JRE really is the anchor anytime he's out there. So, that's his position. I think they'll work really well together, but Jay will learn from JRE how to, you know, communicate, which he already does well, but JRE is, you know, excellent, and he can really, you know, because if you're the five on defense, then you have to be the eyes for the players who are, you know, guarding their man on the perimeter.
Well, let me go back to this. Do you think JRE is going to start?
I do.
I do too. This Bazley start thing, I love. And I, like I said, I'm excited about the idea of him because then we're truly going into this like four guard set type thing, you know?
Yeah.
But JRE, the way he plays and the way you're explaining the way he moves there, you know, like to me, and the way that he calls all the players after they were drafted, the way he's stepped up as a leader, this is leadership moves, man. This is, I am a starter on this team and I'm going to act like that.
Not bad for a second round pick who, you know, is passing. I mean, but that's what you get from a Jay Wright player, right? Mm-hmm. You get someone who understands things like
there's not many more of those Jay Wright players anymore.
They are a rare commodity now. And that thing is, like, if this is true of, like, his leadership, we already know what he does out on the court. But communication, a lot of times you'll see, like, similarities. Like, someone who doesn't talk at all off the court usually doesn't talk at all on the court. But if they can communicate on the court, they usually are somewhat of a communicator off the court. And maybe, you know, a player like JRE, and kind of it can help this culture, you know, mesh when we're once again in a spot where we're kind of like the young Thunder again. You know, I think I've heard Perk talk a lot about when he came to the Thunder, like the players were having trouble communicating. And he would, you know, be on the phone late at night with some guys like KD. He would be able to talk truth to Russ when, like, things weren't going right for Russ. Like, and he communicated. And I think it's, you know, one thing to have an older player who's, you know, won a championship come in and be that guy. It's another thing to have a younger guy be that guy, because then everybody thinks, well, why can he do it? If he can do it, I can do it. There's nothing special about that guy. He's doing something, and that's why he's, you know, standing out. And other people will learn that they can communicate. Like, they can be, you know, a family. I'd say we've seen this connection between, you know, Giddy and Chet. Like, that's really important to us. We watch these things. We want to see that brotherhood that was the hallmark of the Days with the Thunder when they were peaking. Yeah, like as that stuff gets all torn down, you know, people start stabbing each other in the back. But when that was good, that was the thing that was the most exciting, was we were watching a brotherhood.
Man, you're absolutely right. And understanding that you need guys like J.R. Reed to connect guys, like Mark said, Kendrick Perkins for our other teams. I think of Monty Williams in his playing career. I think of Al Horford. Think of, Jason Kidd, that the stories that we hear of him reaching out to the new guys and getting them into the gym right away. Like, this is exactly what you need on your team. And I'm not saying that Shea or Dort or these other guys haven't done it, because I'm sure they are. But the reality is we hear about JRE so much and so often about these young guys talking about him that it makes you really understand and appreciate exactly what JRE brings to this table, that leadership mentality. And like, you know, we've put some ex-coaches in there that I just mentioned that are like JRE. And if you look at the progression of his career, and eventually, he's going to probably end up being one of those guys that has a, 15-year career in the NBA and then starts coaching afterwards. And that's the thing about JRE, is somebody that was born a leader versus earning a leadership, right? When you're born a leader, like, you do things that are leadership styles. You understand automatically. Like, when you earn that leadership position, it takes time. You know, it's not something that everybody has that gene where they're just born as a leader. And one day when we're all looking back and we see how JRE brings the team together and he gets a nice fat ass contract, and we're all sitting and be like, wow, that was a really big contract that he got. You know, like, guess what? We did this before with somebody, with Steven Adams. He was that in-between guy. He was that buffer between our two guys. Like, we have paid guys to be that buffer, to be that extra, oomph that we need to keep things calm in the locker room. So JRE is that perfect example of that. Jay Wright, he won a championship there at Villanova, so he knows what it takes, man. And I get excited about JRE and the idea that we get to watch him for probably most of his career in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, hopefully, right? He's hopefully the type of guy that championship
you build teams people need. You build it around it, man,
right? Because you need guys to be stars in their role and who can occasionally step outside their role and be a little bit more than that. But in the end, like, understanding your role and being the best you can be in that role is like, yeah, we've got stars, but you need that second group. But let's talk about J-Dub. All right, so
yeah,
J-Dub, this article mentions his chance with his size and his length to be able to play a little bit of four and, play three and shift over to the four in the small ball lineup. How do you feel about that?
Well, we've been saying this since day one, that the whole idea of Sam Presti and Coach D's offense, right, is the positionless offense. Right. We need to have guys that can play multiple positions, right?
Mm-hmm.
To say that J-Dub can play four through one, we've known that since day one, Mark. That's not a big surprise to you and I.
You know, honestly, I don't think I've ever thought that. Like, oh, really? I understood he could play the one, a little
Dude,
bit.
Did you see how physical he four, played in summer league though?
I mean, still he like okay. Do you want him to play a power forward on offense? Okay, so if we go four on the perimeter, yeah, all right, well, he can do that. But
check this out, though.
Can he guard? Check this out. Can he guard a four?
Let's just go through our starting lineup plus J-Dub, okay?
All right.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
My opinion, J-Dub can guard one through four, okay? Chet can guard five through two, okay? Dort, one through three. Sometimes he can play that power forward position like he did on LeBron, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say Dort, one through four. Shea, one through four. Giddy, one through four. You see what I'm saying, man? Like, we've
gone... I think you're exaggerating on some of the guys a little bit.
But listen, when I say one through four, like, the switch happens, man. You know?
Yeah,
Somebody's going to come up and set a screen on Giddy's man. That's a power forward, and Giddy's going to be forced to guard that. Now, he might not be very effective guarding it, but he still can guard that position because of his height and because of his arms And because he's not an easy person to push around.
Right.
Yeah. So I that's what, when I say 1 through 4, I look at these switches that are going to inevitably happen.
Right.
You're going to have force Chet to guard that one. And he's probably going to look stupid in the beginning. Sorry, Chet, if you're listening to this, I don't think you look stupid guarding the one. I just think that, you know, when Steph gets an opportunity.
We're stars.
When Steph gets an opportunity to make you look stupid, he's going to take that because, you know, you have had this video of him for the last 4 years of you making him look stupid. So, like, these guys are going to do that because they can do that. And when
every player wants to, you know, show the new guys, especially high draft picks, that
think about Jordan going up to Shaq and saying like,
"You're gonna make something up."
Yeah, I'm gonna dunk on you or something like that. And Shaq's like, "Ha ha ha, whatever." And Jordan comes down and dunks on him and then yells at him, "Welcome to the NBA, Rook." So like, that's the thing about it. Like, all these guys, they have this opportunity to dunk on the rookies because it's not gonna always be like that, and they all know that. You know, the rookies are going to be veterans someday. Yeah. So, like, this is their opportunity. So, you know, Chet's going to go out there. But then when Chet's guarding the two, a little bit bigger, a little bit slower, you know, like, I think he's going to do phenomenal. I think he's going to put that two guard on lockdown. So, to me, it's this understanding what the fuck's going on. And that's what I get excited about this team, is because when push comes to shove, to see these guys switches and, you know, Chet going into the middle, like, these guys are going to make this defense look, insane. And we're all talking about highly intelligent guys playing on this team, too. This is not like we have, like, 3 or 4 guys that you're sitting there scratching their heads like, what the fuck just went on there, you know?
Yeah.
These guys' IQs are off the chart. So then you have somebody like JRE that's going to be playing there that I think he plays, like, you know, 5 through 3 pretty well. That he's going to be out there yelling, "Hey, hey, hey, go here, go here, go here," you know? Like, these are the type of guys that play multiple positions, that help us on defense, depending on who we're playing, they're going to get big minutes or, you know, just a few minutes. We saw this happen with Steven Adams. We saw this happen with other guys that were coming up. We would give him sprouts of minutes, right, because it was a good matchup. And then we wouldn't play him necessarily against, you know, bad matchups. But that's why we have Mike Muscala, and we still have, you know, Derek Favors, and we still have, you know, Jay Will and all these other guys that would be able to step up and play in these positions that fit the other guys better that we're playing against. So that's why I look at the way that we are, and I can say 1 through 10, yes, but 1 through 15 is really what we're going to be seeing out there. We're going to see, and that just means less minutes for our starters, which are better in the long run. We want to see these guys be able to stay healthy throughout the season.
Yeah, we got to trust our depth, you know, and we can't 100% cut anybody's development short. So
what do you think? What was the other? There was another question that you had in there that I really wanted to talk about.
Yeah, okay. So is Chet going to be our best 3-point shooter? I bet that's
yes. I want to throw this out there. No, he won't. Okay, Shea's going to have an incredible comeback from last year. I think Shea would probably shoot 40-41% from 3-point range. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So unless Chet comes out like bombing like a motherfucker, which he could be. I mean, he could average 42%, then I'd be eating my words, but I think Shea's ready to put up a 40% 3-point range season.
All right. I think you're right. I think Shea is, but that may not be good enough.
Oh, that's what I was saying, is like, maybe I just eat my words by Chet just stepping up, you know?
I mean, like, the way he likes to take open shots and his ability to get open shots, he really could be a 50% 3-point shooter, right?
Bro. If I would shit myself if he turned out to be a 50% 3-point shooter, because the reality is, if he shoots 50%,
I know,
at his height, man.
I know I'm exaggerating. It would probably be like,
no, but I want to talk about it because, like, we don't know, you know. Like, we don't know how good he's going to be, because I think he's, you know, he didn't score over 23 points very often at Gonzaga because of the limitations that he had. So,
yeah,
I mean, we can sit here and I can say, oh, this, like, but no, dude, you're right. He could average 50% from 3-point range. And if he does do that, I mean, he's going to be averaging 20-plus points a game. I mean, if he's averaging 20-plus points a game and, you know, let's just say 8 rebounds, right, and 5 blocks. I mean, what?
Yeah.
I mean, but that's what he could do. I mean, that's what's insane, man.
Yeah, I mean, you get the impression that kind of like whatever he makes a priority, he can do. And there will be adjustment time, but, you know, you give him a long enough runway, he's going to figure it out.
He's brilliant, man. Yeah. I like, listen, every single time I see anything with Chet, I just take a, you know, deep breath. I love his parents. I love the interviews that I've seen that Chet give. Yeah. I love the interview that his parents gave. Like, this is a really amazing young man. And to me, here I am in my late 30s, right?
Yeah.
And I'm overwhelmed, you know, like I'm overwhelmed that I get to watch this team grow up in front of me. Like my kids will be able to, when they're graduating high school, my two boys that are 8 and 9 right now, you know, when they're graduating high school in 10 years, like I'm going to be able to sit down and be like, yeah, man, look at this team. Look at what they've done. Look at how many championships and MVPs and all this other stuff that they put out. And when you guys were 8 and 9, you know, like my brother Mark and I, we were doing this podcast about this team and everybody thought we sucked. You know, like these are the moments that I'm looking at and I'm starting to recognize that, like, in the next 10 to 12 years, this team is going to be so phenomenal. The passion, the desire to win, the guys that you have in leadership positions, your coaches, your assistant coaches, your GMs, your assistant GMs, player developmental aspects, your G League, everything is in fucking sync, guys. This is no longer, hey, we're waiting for this team to pull everything together so they can start winning games. No, this is winning time. There is no more waiting. There's no more us saying, hey, we're not going to make the playoffs again this year. This is the time. This is the year. And now we're sitting at 80-something games or days until the season starts, and it's getting exciting. I can't help but go watch the Pro-AM game 3 or 4 times with Chet just going off. Yes, I get it. The defense wasn't phenomenal. The defense wasn't great, but it doesn't fucking matter, man. It's seeing these guys be able to put their talents together and do insane things. And man, I can't even tell you. This is going to be crazy, man. I don't think we truly understand how good Chet is, and I don't think we truly understand how good this team is going to be. And we can say that, you know, Mark can say, you know, he thinks 50 and I think someplace between 42 and 50. Listen, that's still putting a cap on this team. Because this team is going to be really good for a lot of years.
Fuck yeah, it is, dude. And it's fun. It's fun to get to know these guys. It's fun to try to project what their game will look like in, you know, as a part of the team. It's, you know, the most fun I've had in years. It is a difficult time right now because it's August. And we've had, you know, so many months, like, consistent of basketball with after the COVID break, and then it was just like, man, we crammed so much into a short time. But this team is getting better. They're getting better right now, and when we see them out there on the court in the preseason, it's gonna be great, man. But in the meantime, we're gonna keep, you know, just speculating and thinking about, you know, what's going on. So we appreciate everybody continuing to join us, and we're gonna be back Wednesday. So thanks a lot, and we'll see you then. Thunder up. Good friends, hard to find, let's face it. Not the perfect home when there's a flood in the basement. Made a couple dollars now and I ain't trying to chase it. Kids from Oklahoma, man, we don't waste it. I'm just trying to paint the picture for me. Something I could give a damn about.